Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
How you guys doing? You guys look good. Look around at yourselves. You look good. Wow, this is like an official. Yeah, man. That's really official. That's cool. I like that. Well, it's a great joy to be here. I really appreciate Pastor Dan inviting me to come and to be with you guys. And I'm just excited about what God's doing. I don't know about you. I'm digging what the Lord's about, you know? He's always up to doing stuff, and I love that. Well, really quick, let me just share with you, if you didn't notice, we have some resources that are out on the table out there. Let me just point out a couple of them for you. My book, Do What Jesus Did, the premise of the book is Jesus didn't come to show us what he could do as the Son of God. He came to show us what we could do. He came to reinstate what the first Adam gave away, and to put that back into action for us, sort of hit the reset button and reinstate dominion, authority, and power and all those things. And so so we have copies of that for you. A friend of mine's trying to get a writing career started, and so I asked him to write the foreword just to kind of help him out. So I had Bill Johnson write the foreword. Just trying to help a brother, you know what I mean? Just trying to get this thing off the ground. Thought I'd give him a leg up. I'm that kind of guy. Also, we've got the field guide, which goes along with the book. This is for like small group studies, or we've actually had many churches going through it, even on like on their main services and stuff. And so that's been really cool. It's got a DVD in the back that goes with it, and just it's been really helpful just for a lot of people in keeping track and sort of going out. There's regular activations that's a part of it. And then also, I'm really excited about this, but my second book, Identity Thief, which just came out yesterday, we've got copies of that out there. And it's an interesting thing, because several people have asked me, they said, is it the follow-up to Do What Jesus Did? And I said yes and no, because it's almost in some ways a prequel. It sort of gives a lot more. I've had several people ask, you know, we want to know more about your life and where you came from and, you know, stuff like that. And so we sort of put a good bit of that, more of a narrative of my life and just my experience. But what I've learned, and just really backing off, obviously Satan is the identity thief. And let me tell you something about Satan being the identity thief. How many of you have had your identity stolen before? Like somebody taking your credit card information or stuff like that? Well, Satan's form of, what they do is they take your information and they operate as if they're you. And that's what Satan has done, but he takes it even a step further, and he convinces us that we are somebody other than who we really are. And so it's really sort of exposing the lies of the enemy, and also understanding how that, you know, can hold us back in the power and presence that God wants us to encounter and experience. There's also tons of research. If you're not a reader, I'm more of an audio and visual type person. And so, we've got tons of DVDs and training materials out there. But Holy Ghost Reborn also just came out yesterday. This is the next in the series of movies. Has anybody seen this yet? How did you like it? You know, it's so cool, because when we were in Greece, my friend Brian Schwartz, who played for the Jaguars, was a middle linebacker for the Jaguars. He had he'd done a lot of healing, like out in the public, out on the streets and, you know, malls and grocery stores and all that sort of stuff. But he had never taken somebody from that experience of being healed or having a, you know, experiencing God's manifest presence, to the point of accepting Christ. And so, it was sort of an equipping moment. I was really happy because for the first time somebody, caught on film where I'm saying to somebody, God's about to heal you right now. You know, and I say that all the time, like constantly, you know, but nobody had actually caught it on film. But for me, what was so powerful about that is it wasn't me doing it, but I was setting Brian up to be able to do it. And my passion is equipping people. And so it just meant so much to me to be able to see that and to see her go, you know, sort of all the way in her encounter and give her life to Christ. Sorry if it gives it away for those who haven't seen it, but anyway, it's a really, I would encourage you to look back at that particular clip multiple times and just sort of study how we were doing it, because that was really sort of almost like a textbook moment of seeing that that sort of encounter happen. So anyway, those resources that are out there for you, and the whole purpose of those things are for the purpose of equipping you and taking you further in these things that God has for you. So anyway, appreciate you guys coming out tonight. Really glad you came. I'm gonna have a couple of my friends join me here, and we want to start off just doing some prophetic ministry for you guys, if that's okay. You guys all right with that? No, you don't like that? No, I'm just kidding. Gordon and Tim, why don't you guys come up here? Could we get that microphone, Pastor? This is Tim Brasek. He travels with me, and he's an itinerant minister in his own right, and a very gifted man, and just has lots of good ministry inside of him. He's older than he looks. I'm not going to say his age though, but anyway, you know, almost hitting 45 would be pretty amazing. And then this is Gordon Cowan. Gordon is, here from the Phoenix area, but, both these men have traveled with me extensively, and, been with me to many different countries. And so anyway, just want to bless you guys. I like doing stuff as team efforts. I don't like just being the only voice. But anyway, so Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your spirit. And Father, we just pray just your encouragement just for those that are here and, anyone listening, Lord, that you would just bless them and just fill them. And Lord, just let your presence just stir in them. Father, we just thank you, for your goodness and kindness. And Lord, we just pray just for an increase of, Father, of just what you have poured into us throughout the years. Father, that we would just let it spring out and share with others. And that would bring glory and honor to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You were on the keyboard, I think. What was your name? Nathan. And is this your significant other? Yeah, wife? Yeah. Was that pointing to the ring? Okay, cool. Thank you for helping me out with that. What was your name as well? Nathan and Violet. Okay. I just saw you guys just really, like the Lord was just really smiling on you two. And that there was just I saw like you, like climbing up the hill. And it was kind of steep and sort of slippery, like in the sense that it was frustrating. And you were like going, I know this is not supposed to be, you know, this challenging. And there was this push, you know, to sort of get to the peak of this thing. And I felt like there was just like some things kind of being thrown at you that the enemy was trying to just block you with. And I just heard the Lord just say that in the midst of that don't be distracted by the things that kind of are coming your way, that keep your eyes on the focus on the prize, because God is going to achieve that. And I felt like, too, like with you, Violet, I felt like there were some people that the Lord is doing some healing with in your family. I feel like there's some real healing coming in some relationships and just some real brokenness and stuff like that that have happened. I felt like people that haven't really heard you are going to begin to start hearing you and responding to you. And I just feel like the Lord is just going to begin to give you the keys to their heart and giving them words and encouragement and things like that. But I heard the Lord just say there's a real shifting, a real turning that's coming for a lot of your family members. And to be encouraged with that. And I felt for you, Nathan, that God has really put some, I felt like there's been some deep deposits placed in you. Just some real deep, like you've got deep wells, if you will. And the Lord is going to begin to draw off of that. And then it's going to spring up and it's going to be life-giving to other people. And I felt like you guys were just about to come into, it's like climbing that hill, that slippery, you know, the opposition, those things. And it was sort of hard to see where the top was. But I hear the Lord just saying, you're right there. It's just right about to come to that top place, and that it's almost like a flat place where it's much better, much easier, a lot more peace. And I just heard the Lord just say that he's getting you there quicker than what it has been in the past. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Don't be nice if it doesn't. Yeah. So Lord, I just pray your blessing on them and pray your encouragement for them. And I thank you, Father, just for their hunger for you, their love for you. And I pray, Lord, that you would just bless them. Yeah. I just even see angelic visitations, just increasing in where you're living, and just God's presence just really visiting you guys in a very powerful way. We thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Go on, or one of you.
Yeah, I've got some. The man over here with the glasses, you were playing guitar up here. Yeah, that's you. What's your name?
Dave.
I just heard the Lord saying he understands you. And there's a lot of people that may not understand you, but the Lord understands you. He understands you in your quiet place. He understands you in the way you talk to people. And he's just very encouraging of your style and the way you do that. And he doesn't want you to change, you know, the way other people may be looking at you. You're in a spot right here in this church and with this family. It's right where he wants you to be, because they understand you too. But there's some people out there in the world that you know, the enemy has brought, you know, some darts against you. So I just feel the Lord wants you to know that where you're going with when you talk to people, don't change it because of what you're feeling from the world. So I just feel that the Lord wants you to know that. And he's got some things for you that are coming up. There's some studies you've been doing, you're digging in deep in some areas, and you don't share that with too many people because you're not sure where the Lord's taking you with that. But he's got you in that for a reason too. So you're going to be in ministering, maybe in some small groups, and you're going to be sharing that with people. I don't know what that is, but you know, between you and the Lord know what that's all about. So he's just saying, dig into that. Don't, you know, let other people tell you that's not where he's taking you, because you're having a direct line with him and he understands you. He gets you. So does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Well, I just want to bless you. What was your name again? Tony? Dave. So Lord, we thank you for Dave. Lord, we thank you that you have him right where you want him in this church with this family. And more importantly, in communion with you, God, in your quiet place and Dave's, where Dave spends time with you, Lord. I just ask that you just shed new light on him. And as you understand him so deeply, Lord, that you just give him revelation in these new areas that he's been studying. And I just bless that in Dave, and I bless that in the people that he's going to be communicating with in the near future, and ask that you set up these divine appointments for him, and that this is just going to proliferate. So I bless Dave in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yeah. You got the blonde hair. Yeah, there's only one with hair like that. Yeah. What's your name? Diane, there's a lot of glory on your life. I want to tell you, Diane, I see dreams and visions over your life. I feel there's encounters in the night, and I feel like there's a season. I feel like there's a gift in you that the enemy's tried to hijack from when you were little. When you were little, you would have, you know, prophetic experiences, different things. You didn't maybe understand them, and there wasn't really people to explain it, but God's restored things to you. And I see you walking in a greater measure of things that have been lost, that God's restoring, brokenness and different wounds that the enemy tried to plant in you, lies about your identity, but those strongholds have been pulled down, and God's taking you on a new path. And I see really, I don't know if you ever heard of Anna Roundtree or Kat Kerr, these women that just go up in the heavenlies, they get caught up. I just see that for your life. I see you having ecstatic encounters in the heavenlies, just through your worship, through kind of a seer gift, through and just in the spirit realm. So I just want to encourage you to keep stepping into that, to ask the Holy Spirit for more, to say, Lord, really open my eyes. What can my life really be? Because I think there's more to even what you have now that you don't even realize. That there's things that that you think, well, I'm in a good place, but the Lord wants to push you kind of into more risk to take you to go deeper. And it's going to be a glorious ride. So I just want to encourage you to step in. Does that make sense for you? Okay. Amen. Father, we thank you for Diane, Lord. Father, we thank you for grace, for dreams and visions, God, that you take her higher in the spirit realm than ever before. Thank you for the restoration, for anything that's been lost, Lord. You're the only one who can restore and redeem time, God. I just release that over her in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yeah. What's her name? Right here on the end. Yeah. Linda? Linda, I just felt like the Lord was just saying, don't judge by just what your eyes see, by the circumstances. God is doing some things behind the scenes in your life, and he's doing some things in other people's lives. I just see you really having a real sort of strong intercession and really crying out to God for some people. And I also saw like a teaching gift on you, but I felt like there was just a lot of things that you were just like pouring your heart out to the Lord. And I heard the Lord say that he's heard everything that you've said. And just with these, there's been some particular people that you've really been really, really heavy that are close to you on your heart. And I heard the Lord saying, you're going to see that shift, that turn. It's coming soon, like in the next couple of months. My sense was that by before the end of the year, that the Lord, that you're going to see a huge heart shift. But I feel like too, there's a real healing in your hands, and God is just increasing that. That you're about to see that, like whatever you've seen before is going to be doubled. And I heard the Lord say, "Spend it well," which means spend it often, and use that, and you're going to see an increase of that. But that's something that's really on you. And I just see the Lord. I just see like epaulets on your shoulders, which are, you know, are like symbols of commanders and things like that. People that are, you know, sort of high ranking. I feel like the Lord is just saying he's bringing you up to a higher level in that. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so Father, we just thank you for Linda. We just pray your blessing on her. And just pray, Lord, Father, just we thank you for the shifting of those hearts. And Lord, those that she's been crying out for. And even hearts, people that have been distant from her, that have moved away, rejected, moved. Father, that you're turning them back. And Father, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, Linda.
Yeah, this young lady here in the gray shirt, glasses. Yes, that would be it. What's your name? Ashley, I just hear the Lord saying that he sees how soft your heart is, and that there's the enemies come and try to kind of harden it a little bit, but the Lord sees how soft it is, and there's some areas that the enemy's pulled you back from in ministry and in the healing area and compassion and some of those areas, caregiving, and the Lord wants you to just dig back into that and not let the enemy steal that and, you know, kill, steal, and destroy some of the areas you've been working in. Even from a little kid, I just see, you know, I hear the Lord saying that, you know, when you were little, you were always taking care of, like playing nurse or playing doctor or something, always taking care of the kindergarten kids or the playground kids. And then, you know, something's happened in your life that is kind of taking that soft heart and put a little cover over it. So the Lord just wants to remove that cover and just to release that softness again and into those around you and your family. I feel there's been some tension in your family. The enemy's caused some tension between you and, I believe, a parent. So I just see that the Lord wants to reconnect you to and to just release all that tension that's built up. So I don't know. Does that make any sense? Yeah.
So Ashley, look, do you need a healing in your body? Amen. Praise God. Go ahead.
In your heart. Yeah, that's what I thought. It was just something in your heart. There's just been a shield, kind of an armor put around it to protect you from any more pain that the enemy's brought your way. So I just feel the Lord just wants to release that from you tonight. Tonight. Not over time, but just right now. So Lord, I just bless Ashley right now, Lord. Just come. Holy Spirit, come on Ashley right now. just fill her up. All this stale air in her lungs, just Holy Spirit, come strongly, fill her up. That just the hole in her chest that where she's feeling just a tough breath, Holy Spirit, fill her up. Just heal her heart. Just take the armor off, unpeel the onion, and just release that good heart and release her compassion and release her healing. Because that's what her mind says, it, but her, she's just not, the enemy's been holding that back. So I break that off right now in Jesus' name. We break it in the name of Jesus. We release Ashley right now in Jesus' name.
Yeah. Father, right here, you got the little, yeah, what's your name? Mike, there's just a real, I just see Moses written over your head, Mike, that there's just a real spirit on you of someone to lead an exodus, that God has taken you from a life that was just a whole bunch of mess, and he brought you out of it and really redeemed you, that I feel the Lord just saying that you are a symbol of his redemption. Everywhere you go, it's a sign of redemption, and there's people that, you know, it might not have always looked that way, and there's people that have tried to say, Mike, who are you to witness? Who are you to talk about the Lord? But man, who aren't you to do that, Mike? That you are a son of the Most High, and I just want to encourage you, just to keep going after it. And I see just a strong discipleship gift on your life to pour into others. You got a gift of giving on you. You give the shirt off your back. You're always providing. You're always making sure people are taken care of. And sometimes the enemy tries to lie to you and say, where's your God? How's he going to provide? But man, he's right there for you, Mike. He is right there for you. And there's a healing gift for you too to carry, Mike, as well, that you continue to lay hands on people because they will be healed. I want to encourage you, step out in faith. And some of those friends that you think and family that you think are lost, God's saying they're not lost. He's saying they're not lost, that he's going to reach out to them. To just keep loving them, and he's going to do the rest. Amen? Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for Mike, Lord. We just bless him in Jesus' name. Thank you for the healing that's in his hands, Lord. There's just compassion on his life to just reach out to those that are hurting, that are broken. Thank you, Lord, for all you're doing in his life and for the testimony that he bears witness of being the new creation, redeemed, overcomer in Christ. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
So what we're doing is we're looking at people and we're trusting that first thought, feeling, impression, sense, whatever it is. We're just looking and just trusting that. And what we're, you know, so much of what we hear from God is just a thought that hits us. Now we think it's just us, and we'll look at somebody and go, oh, well, everybody knows that about that person. Or that's just obvious. When I look at them, that's just obvious. But see, God made the human mind. He made the whole human body, I believe, as a communication device between us and him. So when you minister to people, like you're paying attention to your body, you're paying attention to your thoughts. And so when Tim asked you if you needed healing, you know, he may have felt a sensation or something, and so he's asking, you know, is this going on with you? Like, so if we say something about, you know, somebody's hip or something, we may feel a tingling or a warmth or it just comes to mind. And so we're just trusting that first thought, feeling, impression. And sometimes it's just a couple of thoughts that we have at the beginning, and we start talking and more starts coming. And so you can even just start that by looking at somebody and just say, when I look at you, I see, and start talking. And it's just that simple. You know, it's just that simple. And so we're afraid of, you know, like I grew up in church, and, you know, I came from a Pentecostal background, and, you know, we would give words by saying, thus saith the Lord, you know, and then it had to be thus saith the Lord. And of course, you know, I remember as a kid, even by the time I was a teenager, I was hearing, I was like, half of these are not thus saith the Lord. You know, half of these are strong, good impressions that are not bad, and they're edifying or they're encouraging, but they're not really thus saith the Lord type words. And so, you know, my encouragement for you is take that off so that it makes it easier for you and it keeps responsibility. So when we're asking questions at the end, so does that make sense to you that we're saying, is that right? Is that accurate? Is it off? Is it, you know, and be honest with us, because we're not, our objective, your objective shouldn't be to be right when it comes to giving a word. My objective is connecting that person that I'm speaking to Jesus Christ. That's my objective. Me being right does not matter. I've died to that. You know, trust every married man should have died to that already, you know? You know, see, you know what I mean? But that's not the objective. The objective is connecting that individual to Jesus Christ and getting them to love him more and to see how much he loves them. And so being willing to be wrong is important. You know, being willing to be wrong. So we're taking that off. So with that in mind, like somebody stand up right now. All right, you were first. So he's going to give a word to everybody in this room. No, I'm just kidding.
Sit up.
So your name?
Greg.
Greg. And I met the gentleman back there, not you before. So Greg. What do I have for Greg? Nothing. That's the point. I don't have anything for Greg, but I'm just going to trust the first thought, feeling, impression that comes. Okay. I just saw the Lord is really, I felt like there was a door that you tried to go through that was closed, and it was like really frustrating for you. And I felt like there was like this disappointment, like you thought, oh man, this is the door I'm supposed to go through. It just slammed shut, and it really like took you back, you know, and really disappointing. And I'm in my head thinking of all the doors that have shut on me throughout my entire life. But I could just see this sort of that frustration, disappointment. But I feel like the Lord has opened double doors for you instead, and that there's been a double blessing, double opportunity, and it's like this set of double doors. And I just hear the Lord just say that you are a Barnabas, and Barnabas means son of encouragement. And there's a real gift of encouragement and blessing. And I've always been very impressed with Barnabas because of just his affirmation and advocation for Paul, you know, and all that. But I feel like there's been things you've done in secret that nobody's seen. There's things that you've sowed in private and sort of, I think you had that word for somebody else. But I feel like there's been a lot that you've planted. And I feel like the Lord is just, my sense is that the Lord is just saying, you're about to reap triple everything that you've given, like in that and receive back to you. And I feel like the Lord is just saying where that door has been shut, there's double doors that are opening. I feel, as I felt for her behind you, that this is a season of promotion, and that God is really promoting. He's going to be expanding your influence and expanding those who are, who you've had a voice into, but it's going to get broader and deeper and get stronger for you. And I feel like that too, like God has just really put I saw you sort of with your hand on the shoulder of many, like even younger people that sort of just come through your home and what you speak over them, as you speak words of affirmation over them, they're going to become those things that you say. So speak wisely is what I'm saying. And you're a wise man in that area. But I feel like just that affirmation, that Barnabas sort of thing is going to be something that they're going to really draw to. For those of you who saw Father of Lights, Sam, the big guy from the Latin Kings, you know, one service, those guys for months after that, they would watch me in worship in our church, you know, and I remember kneeling down on the ground and just worshiping the Lord. And I looked back and Sam was in the aisle, probably about 15 feet from me, and he was kneeling down and he kept looking at me like, am I doing it right? You know, that type of thing. And I got up and I walked over to Sam and I just put my hand on his shoulder and I said, Sam, I'm so proud of you. And he just burst into tears and he told me, he goes, I've never had a man tell me he was proud of me ever in my entire life. And it was just this healing moment and he just sobbed and sobbed. I feel like there's a real powerful gift on you, sir, for that. And that it's really going to be blessing people and calling them up to a higher thing. So, does that make sense?
It really does.
Don't be nice to me.
No, I would say it's 90% right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me about the 10%. No, I'm a learner. I want to learn. I want to grow. Tell me what, like, be honest. Don't be nice.
Doors at first. Yes, definitely. Doors
yeah.
Closed, but then it seems like God has opened up more doors and new doors. And
praise the Lord.
Freedom to walk through. The encouragement part, probably, I would have to ask my wife on that because I'm never really sure.
Sure. Thank you for your honesty. It's important. Let me just bless you. Father, I just thank you for my friend, and I thank you just for that positive feedback and helpful feedback. And Lord, I pray that all those things, Lord, that you're calling him to, Lord, that he will see the effects of and see the blessing of. And Lord, I just pray your encouragement and blessing on him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless you. Wait a minute. I forgot. Oh, who go ahead.
I can,
we'll give a few more. Yeah.
Where was, it's your husband. He walked out. Yeah. The guy who was holding your little girl, right?
Yeah. Is he your husband? No? Okay.
That's right.
Well, Tim always marries people off.
All right, well, I'll give you, what's your name? Felicia? Yeah, I just see, you're just a real lover, Felicia, that there's a heart in you, to love well, to do things well. I feel like that, you're a hard worker as well, that there were family values instilled in you from when you were a little girl, that you know what it means to have little, to be faithful with little. You know what it means to work hard. And I feel like that was your mother or your grandma, but someone in your life really poured that into you and gave you that that purity in your heart. And as you continue to walk on your journey, you're experiencing more of God, but I feel like he's inviting you to just go to a whole new level. That I feel like there's a place in you where you're thankful for what you have, you're grateful, but I just see just party boppers and things going around you in the spirit realm, just of a celebration. And I don't know if there's been some healing you just went through or some different things that you've overcome, but I just see heaven celebrating and rejoicing over your life, that some dry seasons are now getting filled with a rushing of water. And I just see that water pouring, you know, through your soul and into your inner woman, if you will, deep in your heart, and just a restoration of things. And I just want to encourage you that you're a great mother. That the enemy tries to lie to you about being a mother and just a daughter of the Most High God, that you're treasured in heaven. So, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for Felicia. God, I thank you for her heart. Father, just for those seeds that have been sown in her, Lord, by those who loved her and gave their life to sacrifice. And Lord, she's turning around and doing the same for her children and for the ones she loved, Lord. Thank you that there's just rejoicing over her, for a fresh river flowing into her spirit, Lord, that you're going to take her deeper than ever before. Let her experience your love, Holy Spirit. Pour it out upon her like never before. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Yeah. Just one thing that I learned from Robbie about 5 years ago in one of his teachings. It says a word could be like a feather that just lands on your arm, and it's easy to just brush it off. It could be that light. So I think to talk about when Robbie just gets a word or we get a word, it could be that light and it could be easy to dismiss. But if it's something that doesn't sound usual or you think it might, you know, not be you or whatever, just go with it. So with that being said, the guy doing the video streaming, I just see music. I hear the Lord talking about musical notes. I just see these musical notes coming out over your head, and like you're just a creative guy and you've been writing some music, and not just words, but like pieces, you know, like for instruments and just putting these things together and it's not for the edification of man. It's for the edification for God, that the worship that you're giving to God and the time you put into these pieces and these words, just being creative. And there are stories about your life that you've been writing, and it's where you've come from and where he's brought you. And there's been a time where maybe there was some time that was not so light for you, and that he's pulled you out, and you're just worshiping him in words and music, and you've got several pieces you put together and little bits and pieces here and there. You're trying to piece those together. But the Lord just, he's seeing that, and he's just a big smile with it. And it is telling your story to him, you know, and not for anybody else. But he's saying it's okay to share that. You know, if you want to share it in your whatever venue you're in, is this making any sense to you? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, amen. So what's your name?
Jalen.
So Lord, I thank you for Jalen, Lord. I thank you for this wisdom you've given him from you, Lord, that it's not his own, Lord, I ask that you bless this gifting you've put upon him with screenwriting and writing it as music, and that it is a story and it's for you, God. And we bless Jalen. You just download to him, Lord, through dreams, through visions, fill in the pieces that he needs, Lord, and let it just come directly from you with visitations even from angels. Lord, we bless Jalen in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, don't be discouraged. You'll do better next time.
It's like,
knocked it out of the park. Where do you go? This guy right here, I think it's a blue shirt. Is that blue or gray? Blue shirt. What's your name?
Isaac.
No. It just says it all. Isaac, I just saw you just like having a real business sense. Like there's a real, I just saw like this entrepreneurial thing inside of you, but I also saw this thing of you like teaching and like raising people up and giving things away to people and equipping people. But it felt like there's a real gift for you that God's going to begin to develop that's going to be in like business and understanding how to do business. I don't know if that's anything you've even been interested in, but I feel like that's something that God's really has for you and even has you to like mentor, you know, people in as you do. But I feel like the Lord is just saying that some of the things that you've desired, you know, in those areas it's the Lord on you, and he just wants to encourage you. Does that make any sense to you? Cool. Does the entrepreneur thing ring at all or no? Be honest. Don't be nice to me. Yeah. You know what? It doesn't have to be anything that your parents or grandparents do or not do. Just what's in your heart. You know, but a lot of prophetic words are either confirmation or, you know, things that you file away and see, you know, where they're going. But I just really felt that was something that God was just going to really bless you in. So, Father, we just pray your blessing on Isaac. I just thank you for the gifts that's in him. And Lord, too, just for the, I just see a lot of courage in you, Isaac. And I feel like the enemy's tried to make you not feel courageous, try to do the opposite, but that's all lies, man. God is just really proud of the courageous steps that you've made and that you've walked out in. So Lord, we just bless Isaac, in Jesus' name. Just thank you. For those things that you placed inside of him. And Lord, whatever you're doing with him, we just say yes and amen to in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Got another one? Go
ahead. Yeah, one more. You got the black shirt on right there. What's your name, brother? Josh. It's funny your name's Josh because I see there's just a strong leadership call in your life, Josh, and I see God using you to influence many people. I see you going to mission fields. I see God taking you around the world. And really with an evangelistic call on your life. And I don't know if there's things that have you know, just maybe some question marks that you've wondered about, but I feel the Holy Spirit's going to bring clarity to that, and he's going to show you which kind of directions to go. And as you kind of walk through those doors, I feel like God's going to continue to pull you deeper, and this is going to be part of your destiny, that right now you might think, man, I'm not really sure, I don't know. But I see God just pulling you in and you going feet first down. Do you have any desire to do missions or anything in mission work? You be honest with me. Okay. That's a good answer. but I just want to encourage you, because I don't know if anybody's ever said this to you, but God really thinks this way about you. That I don't know if people have spoken some things over you, man, to try to knock your confidence. Or people that you really looked up to kind of really weren't there to encourage you, but man, the Father in heaven is rejoicing over you, Joshua. That there's a great plan for your life, and when you see and align yourself the way he sees you, man, it's hell's in trouble. Hell's in trouble for your life, man. And I just want to encourage you that, man. I just want to encourage you. So Father, I just thank you for Joshua, Lord. Father, I thank you for just a mandate on his life to go forth, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that he would give away things that weren't given to him, Lord, that he would lift up others, that he would pour into others, Lord, that he would do mighty exploits for your kingdom, God. Take him all over the world. Blessed are the feet of those who preach the good news, Lord. Bless his feet, Father, and thank you for all you're doing in his life, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll shift gears here just a little bit. You know, one of the things that I love in being with these guys is just how they are really incredibly bold, as bold as you may see them being here. You get them outside of the walls of the church, and they're even bolder. They're like just there's nothing. They love sharing Jesus, and even in Tim will. Tim blows me away because he takes any song out there and turns it into a fluent tongue talking song. Like, I mean, he'll take Journey songs and turn them into, you know, Shabba, you know, for the next 20 minutes. And, you know, he sings this tune of some secular song, but he's singing it in tongues the whole time. And then he'll just share with anybody and just go with, talk to anybody. And I so love that. And of course, I like being that way too. And I love seeing Gordon, do that. And I've seen both of these men just walk up to people. And we were in England together, and Gordon walked up to the lady who was at the front desk of the hotel and gives her a prophetic word. And I mean, totally reads her mail, like with specific stuff. And then looks at her and says, you know, your left shoulder is bothering you, and it's been bothering you for like the past 3 months. And she's like, what? You know, and he prays for her. She gets healed. And, you know, and then and you see other people that get, you know, freaked out, you know, when they get healed, because all of a sudden then now it's real. You know, now it's a reality. And I'm just seeing these men just step out and do this and walk out in this is just such a blessing and an encouragement, because I mean, I know that that's it's my heart to see people do that. And so I'm very thankful for that. Turn with me in your Bibles, if you would, to Acts chapter 8. And let me tell you something. We have a tendency that I share that part because I want to set up for saying this. We have a tendency that if we see somebody who needs healing or needs a word, you know, that we feel like God may have a word for, or that we just kind of look at them, and people are always saying, how do you know that the Lord has a word for that person? Well, typically I just know because I'll look at them and I'll think, man, I feel like they need a word, you know, or just feel like, man, they need to hear something from God. And I may not have an intention of that. It's not that I'm looking at them going, that looks like somebody that needs to hear God talk to them. It's not that. It's just this, I'll just have this sense. And see, I believe that as we spend time in the presence of God, either through worship or through the Word, and I don't mean by that in a legalistic way. I mean that from the perspective of relationally. But as we do that, all of a sudden, how many of you know, I talk about this in the book Identity Thief, you begin to take on, couples begin to look like each other, you know, for some of them, that's a good thing. For some of them, it's a bad thing. But, you know, you start kind of taking on the attributes of that person. You start taking on sort of the characteristics, their mannerisms, different things like that. Why? Because you've spent time with that person. And you start to kind of take that on. Well, as you begin to look at people, you know, and we can look out and feel compassion towards it, and we're like, Lord, I wish you would give me a word for that person to be healed so I could go pray for them to be healed. Well, he did. Just simply by the fact that you felt that is God giving you a word. Just simply by the fact that you noticed that person is God giving you a nudge. You know, the scripture says that Jesus looked out and he's looking at the mass. He's looking at 5,000 people and he sees people that need healing, need touch. He's moved with compassion and he heals them all. Why? Because his heart was stirred. So how do we know that that was the will of the Father? Because he was feeling it. It was in his will. And so when we just want to, that's many times the direction and the, you know, the call, the, you know, the stirring of the Spirit that's happening. God is stirring our hearts. And so moving and acting on that. And we're sort of thinking that we have to go into this sort of trance and, you know, be like, I, you know, and then out of that go, I'm supposed to pray for you, you know, and sort of fight through this, you know, opposition. No, it's not, it's just simply through our feelings and through our emotions, through what we're experiencing. But we see somebody like that, and our natural instinct is to immediately see somebody who needs healing, and we want to, you know, especially if it's a public thing, it's to be able to look at them and all of a sudden we're like, psst. you look like you need healing. Or you need an encouraging word or whatever the thing is. I want to pray for you. But I know how embarrassing prayer is. Me speaking to God of all creation, master and ruler of the universe, would humiliate you and embarrass you. So let's go behind this rock, this tree, this wall. Let's hide back here and let me pray for you so that you'll be healed. Now, how do you spell faith? R-I-S-K. Faith is risk. If risk is a valve, what did I just do with that valve in doing that? Turned it all off. And we have a tendency to do that, and we think we're doing it to make it safe for them. Not true. We're trying to make it safe for us. Self-preservation is the death of faith in the church. The thing that will kill faith in the church is self-preservation. And yet, so much of messages that are out there are about self-preservation. You know, self-improvement, how to make you better you, all these things that are just inundating us, all of these sermons, all these things. And I mean, there may be, you know, books and messages titled that are very powerful and very good. I'm not cutting those out. But I'm saying when all of a sudden it's about self-preservation, where Jesus looked at us and said, listen, the only way you're going to save your life is to be willing to spend it, is to be willing to lose it. You know, the only way that you're going to keep your life is if you spend it. You know, the only way you're going to save your life is to give it and to sacrifice it. And so everything. Now, here's the thing. How many of you would be willing to take a bullet to the head for Jesus? Usually it's most everybody. Here it's half. That's fine. You know, we're willing to take a bullet to the head for Jesus. But usually we're not willing to look stupid for him. I'm willing to take a bullet to the head for him. I just don't want to look like an idiot for him. And yet, that's the thing where the scriptures talks about Jesus made of himself of no reputation. He's making an understanding. I'm not worried about what people think about me. I just want to make you look glorious. I want to make, and if me looking the fool makes my king look glorious, so be it. Let it happen. You know, why? Because in those moments, I remember it was called to the hospital, and this guy had this, bacteria, flesh-eating bacteria, but it had gotten into his ear. And it had eaten through his eardrum, and it was like moving towards, you know, parts of the brain or something like that. It was really bad. He was starting to lose mental, you know, abilities. And his sister, you know, like pleaded with me, would you come and pray? You know, he's in this certain ward in the hospital. It's like, you know, they have to really watch and be careful with him and all this stuff. And I was like, yes, absolutely. And so we went in and we had to get all this permission. I mean, it was kind of a big deal to go in and pray for this guy. And I went in to pray for this guy, and I prayed for him like four times. I mean, the pain level would drop, but then would come back up, which is always an indication of something spiritual. You know, there's a spiritual opposition. And so I was getting frustrated with it and all this. And then finally, you know, the caregiver, the main nurse came in, and she goes, I'm sorry, but you know, your time's up. You have to go. And she goes, you know, I'm sorry, but you know, you've had as much time as you can. I was like, okay, I understand. And so I was walking out the door, and the sister looked at me and she goes, I'll be with you in just a few minutes. She goes, I'm going to talk to them and find something, you know, out. And she goes, and I'll walk you out. She goes, if you don't mind just waiting in the waiting room for me until I was like, sure. So I go in the waiting room, and I'm mad. I am not happy about this. I'm ticked about this, as a matter of fact. And I'm like, man, I wanted to see that guy get healed. Now, the thing of it is he was a Christian. And if here's a question for you. If we had 10 people in a circle here that need healing that are Christians, and 10 people over here that are unbelievers that need healing for the same thing, and we pray for both, who do you think is going to get it first? The unbelievers. Why? Does that mean God doesn't like us as much? No. There's a greater level of opposition against you and I as believers. Satan is fighting harder against you and I as believers. I have felt more demonic power in a church than I've ever felt at a witchcraft festival. Let me tell you why. That's how it should be. That's not an indictment against the church. That's how it should be. Why? We are his enemy. He hates us. And so he's going to be opposing us harder. So I felt more demonic power and opposition in a church than I've ever felt at a witchcraft festival. And I've been to many witchcraft festivals. So anyway, but in order to see more of this group, but yet the tendency that you and I have, the majority of people we have a tendency to pray for are other Christians. And yet these guys get healed faster and quicker. I mean, let me tell you something. If all you ever do is pray for Christians to be healed, you're going to get depressed. I'm just warning you now. I'm not saying don't do it. But if you want to see this group get healed and see breakthrough happen, you pray for these. This is like where the field you sow in and you'll reap over here. It's true. You sow here, you reap here, but you'll also see you'll see their lives transform as a result. And so I walked out and I'm like mad. And I'm like, man, I wanted to see that guy healed. I'm disappointed. I'm discouraged. I'm frustrated. And so how I take that out is I get revenge. I know that sounds very unholy of me and very unspiritual of me, but I start looking around that waiting room and I'm like, there's got to be somebody in here that needs healing. I'm going to make the enemy pay for that because I'm mad about that. Seriously, there was not thank you. Yes, her. No, I'm like, who are they? You know, okay, that just shows you probably how the great lack of spirituality I have. But I'm just being honest with you. So I look over at this woman and I looked at her. And, you know, and I've got a t-shirt on, I've got workout pants on, I've got tennis shoes on. And I look at this woman and I said, do you have problems in the lower part of your back and you're in pain right now? And she goes, I knew it, I knew it. She goes, I knew there was something different about you. And I was like bald head, earrings, t-shirt, workout pants, like, what are you talking about? She goes, there's something about, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? And she goes, no. She goes, but I knew there was something about you. I knew there was something special, you know, and I was like, okay. And I said, let me get back to my question. Do you have pain in the lower part of your back? And she goes, yes, I do. She goes, I've been having pain for months now. And I said, is it hard to bend? She goes, it hurts terribly. So I prayed for, I'm going to skip through a lot of this story because this took a while. I prayed for her and literally first time, boom, all the pain leaves. She's bending down. She's touching her toes. She's coming up. She starts to cry. And I looked at her and I said, Jesus just demonstrated his love for you, how much he cares about you. And in healing your back, he just invited you to a relationship. I said, how would you like to respond to Jesus? I said, he just invited you to a relationship. How would you like to respond to him? And she looks at me and she goes, I would like to respond by having you pray for my father who's in a coma. And I was like, okay. And I was like, your father's in a coma. And she goes, yeah, he was right beside the room of the guy where I had just prayed for. So I looked at her and I said, how long has he been in a coma? She said, he's been in a coma for the past year. And she goes, they're wanting to pull the plug on him. They're wanting to. She goes, he's in a bad place. He's not opened his eyes. He's not any. And so I said, how can we get back there? I said, well, they just let me back. I said, I just came from back there and they were kind of pretty protective. And she goes, I'll get you back there. And so she went and she talked to the doctor and she comes back. She walks me back. And as we walked into the room, I mean, this guy's got all these tubes in his throat. He's got all these monitors, his eyes, you know, his eyes almost look like they were taped shut. They weren't, but they just looked so heavy, you know, like somebody who had passed away, you know? And so I walked over to him and I just looked at her and I said, well, let me tell you something. I said, Jesus is about to completely heal him. Now, my batting average is not really good after the room I was just in. But again, this is how I'm getting revenge. This is how I'm getting the enemy back. And let me tell you something. People are always saying, I can't say that to unbeliever. I'll mess up their theology if they don't get healed. Has anybody thought that question already as I'm talking? It's okay. You can raise your hand. Well, guess what? Unbelievers don't have any theology. There's nothing to jack up. You can't jack up something that's not there. So you don't have to worry about that. You know, I've done this, I did this all over Princeton University. You know, they brought me in to do a 3-part talk on, you know, do miracles and signs and wonders still happen today? Healings and miracles still happen today? And I told them, I said, I would come and do the lecture if they had permitted me to walk around the campus and pray for people on the campus. And so they did, and anyway, it was incredible. So I mean, I've done this in an atmosphere where you have Princeton is an epicenter of unbelief. I think we would all agree with that. I mean, there's more unbelief there than anywhere I've ever experienced. But we were seeing people just get healed and clear prophetic words, just blowing people's minds. Why? Because where there's a greater level of opposition, there's also a greater level of kingdom activity. Just something very powerful in that moment. So I went in and I put my hand on the woman and I said, can you get any doctors or nurses in here? And she goes, yeah. She goes, let me go see if I can bring them in here. Now, the reason why I'm doing this is because can I interrupt the story with another story real quick? Is that okay? Please understand, all the stories are equipping. These aren't just me rattling off stories. These are to equip you, okay? These are giving you permission. But I'll see this with my kids. We were just at the, I told this, we just did the Sid Roth show back in September, but I've told them this, but they didn't end up airing it. And I was bummed about it, but he said, come back and tell it again, because I want to put that story on. But my kids and I were at the Vatican. I was speaking in a conference in Switzerland, and we took a few extra days of vacation. And my kids see this guy in a wheelchair. It's like a 15-year-old boy from Spain in a wheelchair. Or 16-year-old boy, and my 15-year-old, who's usually a little bit shyer and a little bit more introverted, he's like, hey, look, a kid in a wheelchair! And he starts running after him. Well, his older brothers start running too, and he's like shoving him. He's like, get away, he's my kid in the wheelchair. I saw him first, and they're running over, and they're shoving each other like brothers. I mean, I got 6 boys, you know, and they're still boys, you know what I mean? And they're shoving each other trying to get there, and of course, you know, I start to run there too, but, you know, they're way ahead. It's just the way it is, you know. And so they get my 15-year-old gets to the boy, and he goes, if you let me pray for you, Jesus will raise you out of this wheelchair. And the boy was like, the boy looks at us, and the mother looks, and she goes, please don't pull my son out of the wheelchair, because she was afraid they were going to jerk him out of the wheelchair. And I, by that time I got there, you know, and I'm like, lady, they are not going to pull him out of the wheelchair, you know. I'm a bit winded as I arrive, you know. And I said, they're just going to pray for him. And so I said, can they just pray for him? She says, yeah. They prayed for him once, nothing. Nothing. They're commanding his spine to be, he was a paraplegic. I forget what vertebrae it was that got messed up. But anyway, so they prayed for him. Nothing, couldn't feel anything. They're like, your paralysis is 10, full feeling is 0. You know, where are you at? 10. They prayed again, 10. They prayed again, 10. And they're saying, Jesus is going to heal you right now so that you'll know how much he loves you, cares about you, and wants a relationship. Just like what you saw in that movie. You know, my boys are saying the exact same thing. And so all of a sudden he says, I said, now check again. And the fourth time, nothing the whole first 3 times. And the mother, you could tell, was starting to get a little, you know, irritated and like, okay, stop. And they're like, just one more time. All of a sudden he started feeling a tickling sensation on the top of his foot. He hadn't felt his feet in like 13 years or something like that. He had been injured when he was really little. So they said, well, let's pray again. And he was like, please do. And so they prayed again. And then all of a sudden he started feeling pins and needles all over his feet. And then he started feeling the pins and needles move up his leg. And then by the like 6th prayer, he's like, I think I can get up. And there was a man walking by who had one of those crutches that grip your arm. I don't know what they call those. But he's walking by, and they stopped, and I said, look, could we borrow one of those for a second? You could just hold on to his wheelchair. I said, can we borrow one of those just so he could steady himself? And so he got the crutch, and he started to get up, and of course the mother's just bawling her eyes out, and he starts walking with this crutch. They prayed again, and he hands the crutch back to the man, starts walking without the crutch. He begins to trot around, and he finally looks back at his mom, and he says, I feel everything. He said, take the wheelchair, go back to the hotel. I'm hanging out with these guys, you know? Now, but right before they did that, right before they went to pray, all of a sudden they looked around, and there's people everywhere. They're at the Vatican, you know? There's people all over the place. Right before they prayed the first time, they looked around and they said, hey, anybody want to come see a miracle? Come here right now. We're about to pray for this kid and he's going to get out of this wheelchair. Why are they saying that? Because they're scared it won't happen. They're afraid he won't get healed. So they're cranking up the risk. Cranking up the risk. Let me tell you what happened. How do we spell faith? R-I-S-K. So everything inside of us says pull back from that. Everything inside of us says go hide behind the tree, hide behind the wall, hide over here. Go the other way. Turn it up. Increase it. And so they gathered people around. Why? Because they wanted to increase that level. Because more people that are there, it increases the risk, which is increasing the faith, which is increasing the atmosphere of expectancy. They know that God can do it. There's no hesitation on that part. I've got a teaching on the table called Undoing Unbelief. And so much of our perspective of, you know, does God want to heal them or not want to heal them, all that, that's all unbelief. I mean, even the idea, what many of us believe, of course Jesus can heal. I just don't think he can use me to heal. That is unbelief. And unbelief is sin. It's something we have to repent of because it's sin we have to turn away from. So all of a sudden this kid's completely healed. But so I've learned that to increasing that atmosphere. So when I, back to the hospital now, sorry, taking you back to the story of the hospital with the man in the bed who's in the coma. I looked at the girl and I said, can you bring any doctors, any nurses, anybody else? Why am I doing that? Because I just prayed for a man who wasn't healed, and I'm trying to increase the atmosphere of risk. I'm cranking up the risk. Does that make sense? Now, everything inside says pull away and pull back. Let me tell you something. All your feelings and thoughts aren't you. They can be, God can put thoughts and feelings in you, but so can Satan. Now, here's the difference. Now, I can't prove this. You can't disprove it. They gave me the microphone so I get to say what I think. Satan can't read your mind. There's nothing in Scripture that indicates he can read your mind. Nothing. But he can put thoughts and feelings in you. And so he doesn't know he's made a hit until how you respond or what you say. That's the only way that he knows he's made a connection, is either by what you say or how you respond. And so if you pull back, he's like, I got him. Or if you say, I can't do this, I can't, you know, you start, you know, oh, I don't want to mess that, you know, I'll mess that up in that person, I'll do this, I'll do that. All of a sudden he's like, I got him. So he doesn't know that he's got you until you either say it or either what you speak or how you respond, you know, in those situations. So I look at the woman and I say, listen, can you bring any doctors and nurses in here? And she goes, yeah, let me see if I can. There's only two or three that came in. There wasn't like a big group or anything like that. But I looked at over and I said, I'm about to pray for this man. And I put my hand on his shoulders and his eyes popped open. It freaked me out. Sounds impressive. But I was like, whoa, man, I mean, seriously, I was like, you know, that's a spooky thing to have happen, especially a guy who looks like he's dead already. You know what I mean? And he's like that. And I was like, you know, and all of a sudden he's trying to talk and he's trying. I didn't even pray. But just increasing that atmosphere of risk did something. Increasing that level of risk did something. As soon as I touched his shoulder. And all of a sudden his eyes open and the daughter just bursts into tears. I mean, and the doctors started scrambling and started checking, you know, monitors and stuff, and he's turning his head and he's trying to talk and he's got all these tubes down his throat. And so I begin to pray and just say, more Lord, Lord, I break every demonic attack. I break every spirit that has tried to come against this man. I command full restoration. Whatever's made this shutdown happen, you know, I didn't even hear the story. I don't even know how he went into a coma, you know, but all of a sudden it just, you know, and then one of the nurse screamed and ran out of the room as soon as he opened his eyes, because it totally freaked her out. And so they said we need to clear the room, we need to get you and the daughter out of the room right now. And the daughter's like, what? I want him to, like, get another bed. I want this guy sleeping in the room, you know? And I was like, that's not necessary, and I won't do that anyway. But, you know, but, I mean, she was just, you know, and so we went back. They sent us back into the waiting room. And, man, I was ready to tell, because several people had heard our dialogue, and I was ready to go in and just say, guys, you won't believe what just happened, and share with them. As soon as we walked in, she goes, you people won't believe what just happened. She just tells the whole report, you know, right there in front of these guys. And I said, listen, I said, what Jesus just did, you know, for that man and for her back, because many of them were watching as I was praying for her back. I said, he'll do for you right now. And he was just introducing himself. Guys, those opportunities are all around you all day long. You're not waiting for them to happen. They're all around you all day long. You're not waiting for God. You're not waiting for God. He's waiting for us to step into it. He's waiting for us to step into it. Now take a look. I had you turn to this passage. Take a look in Acts chapter 8. I love this. And you have to understand what's happened. Let me sort of set the stage. Here you see the church, you know, this is the beginnings of the church. Acts 2, we refer to as the birthday of the church. Pentecost was where the church was birthed, you know. It's the birthing day of the church. The Holy Spirit comes and fills them and ignites them, empowers them. I mean, you know, it's just this incredible. And it's so amazing, because right before this happens, you know, you see these men probably curled up in the corner in the fetal position, terrified, scared to death, you know, of, you know, the Roman soldiers are going to come and kill them. Temple guards will find them and kill them. I mean, they're just terrified. I mean, we sort of see this. How many of you grew up in church? I grew up seeing flannel graph. Anybody remember flannel graph in church? You know, and the flannel graph version of Pentecost is they're all holding hands in a circle, looking at each other with smiles on their faces. And you could just imagine this dialogue of, brethren, it is good to dwell with thee today, as we tarry here for the Comforter to come. Have you ever noticed how that Jesus is constantly referring to the Holy Spirit as Comforter? Yet when he shows up, there's nothing comforting about what he looks like or how a gale force wind ripping through the room doesn't make me think of cookies and milk and curling up in the corner with, you know, a warm blanket. I'm not thinking comforting thoughts about fire falling from the sky, landing on their heads, them erupting in a language no one's ever heard before. I mean, this is not peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. You know what I'm saying? This is not comfort experiences. And yet, in this encounter, they come alive. They come alive. They're being empowered. And they stand up. They step forward. I mean, there's this thing that happens. And we already have that, guys. We're not waiting for that. For the majority of us, we've already experienced that. We have that. And so we just need to keep actively walking that out. So they have that, and then all of a sudden they just go through Jerusalem, and notice Jesus' words in Acts 1. I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I want you to go do this. Also Matthew, you know, at the end of Matthew. He's giving them these instructions to go into all the world. And yet what happens is as soon as the Holy Spirit comes and thousands gather, notice this, at the sound of the Spirit, thousands come running. There's an attraction to the Spirit of God. There's an attraction to the presence of God. And they come running to that. They're just actively pursuing that. And then all of a sudden, it's this hits You know, there's, you know, the projection that possibly like a quarter million of the Jewish population in Jerusalem come to faith. You know, I mean, the church is massive. They're meeting in all different parts. I mean, they've speculated that half of Jerusalem are part of the church. I mean, it's crazy number. But all of a sudden, notice this, when you see, you know, later on or earlier than this passage, when all of a sudden the disciples need, you know, they've got the quandary over the orphans and widows getting the right amount of food distribution. It says the disciples say, listen, we are supposed to give ourselves to fasting and prayer, not to figuring out food source, you know, not for figuring out food distribution. But yet the message Jesus told them was, guys, he didn't say, guys, I want you to spend all your time fasting and prayer. What did Jesus tell them? Go. Go. Go into all the world. Make disciples of all people, of all nations. That was their instruction. How did they go from that to hiding out in a room and fasting and praying and just clustering together? I mean, what happens? Is fasting and prayer bad? No. It's great. It's wonderful. I do it. It's wonderful. It's powerful. It's significant. Not cutting that out. But all of a sudden, they seem to not be doing this other thing, you know, and so to the point to where that then persecution, you know, hits the church, and that's where this passage sort of picks up. So take a look at this. And it's interesting because we have a tendency in the church to immediately, once there's like a visitation or something happens, we start trying to put a structure around it. We start trying to structure things. And that, I'm not saying that structure's bad. I need structure. I'm like one of the most unstructured persons alive. So structure is really good for me. You know what I mean? I need structure. I'm not throwing that out. But all of a sudden, they're sort of caught up in the structure of this thing, and they're not doing what Jesus told them to go do. He said, go into all the world. You know, go into all the world. And yet, how many times do we put a value on, well, yeah, that woman is the most godly woman I've ever known, because all she ever does all day is lock herself away in her house and pray and seek the Lord all day long. That's all she does ever. And I'm like, that's godly? That's wonderful. But yet at some point, Jesus wants you in the community, being his hands, his feet, his demonstration. And that's not just a qualification for it. Remember what Paul says, you know, we're all to do the work of an evangelist. We're all to be the hands and feet in demonstration. Boy, you guys get quiet at certain points when I get this. Yeah, amen. The hot part. No, I'm just teasing you. Listen to this. Listen to what it says here. All of a sudden persecution hits, and it was sweeping through Jerusalem. This is verse 1 of 8, of Acts 8, in case I didn't tell. I preached an entire message the other day and realized everybody came to me and said, you did not give one reference the entire time to that entire message. So it's, yes, anyway, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered. Keep in mind what Jesus told them to do. He told them to go into all the world, but you know, they're not going anywhere. Scattered through the regions of Judea and Samaria, some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church, and he went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. Now look at verse 4. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. God bless them. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened to him intently. Now, Philip is supposed to be in this position of being a deacon, of being the serving guy, you know? And so all of a sudden, he's out doing the job that the disciples were told to do by Jesus, or the apostles. And it says, the crowds listened to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miracles and signs that he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Now listen, let me stop there. All of a sudden, these guys are gathering. Why are they gathering? They're hearing this message that stirs their heart, but they're also seeing signs and wonders. They're seeing these things happen. Acts 2:20 talks about, it says that the NLT at least, it says that the signs and wonders that Jesus did was the endorsement of the Father on the ministry of Jesus. It was how the Father endorsed his ministry, was with signs and wonders. And that is still true today. If we'll do the ministry Jesus did, where Jesus did it, with the humility and heart that he did it with, you'll see the same things happen. But there's this desire that's inside of us to, again, to sort of pull back, play it safe, or sort of move to this, you know, this, let's go behind the wall, let's go. But Jesus was very public in his ministry. You know, that doesn't mean that you have to, be disruptive. You know, I was with a pastor, how many of you have heard of the Christian church, the Christian denomination? It started off, it was birthed at a revival by, called the Cane Ridge Revival, where the Holy Spirit hit, I mean, tens of thousands of people gathered, and this was like 200 years ago. I mean, it's an amazing, powerful testimony of God's presence and just pure revival that hit. And yet the denominations that have come out of that revival today deny the power that birthed them. They completely deny healing. They're cessationists now. Well, the cessationist church, you know, called me and said, we want you to come in and do a conference on healing. We want you to come and do a thing on prophetic. And I said, why? And he said, because, I said, I'm just curious, aren't you guys cessationists? He goes, well, the denomination is. He said, but we've had a couple of people that sort of accidentally got healed in our church. And now we're going, wait a minute, something's here. Something is current and we need to embrace this. And so they said, you know, you're like a guy that we would really like, you know, to come and help us, show us how to do this. And so we went there and did, and this one girl, it was her birthday. We went out to dinner. And so we prayed for her and we were, Tim and I were prophesying over and talking about boldness. And she's like, she goes, I've always wanted to do this. And we're like in this, they took us this really nice restaurant. It was like a 4-star restaurant, you know? And she gets up, she says, I've always wanted to do this. I feel like I'm supposed to do this. And she pulls a chair over, stands on the chair, and she goes, everybody, listen to me. She goes, I'm here to tell you that Jesus can heal you. She goes, you know, Robbie just prayed for our waiter. He got completely healed. He can heal you right now. If you want to know about Jesus, she goes, these two guys are going to tell you about. I was like, wow, you just threw us under the bus. You know, this is about you taking the stand, not setting us up to take the stand. We do this stuff all the time. And so, but of course I was happy to oblige, you know, because she was making a big, bold step. Now the thing of it is, that was as awesome as that was, and how applauding and affirming I was of her, at the same time, I was like, it would have been much better, so I want to give you a contrast of this. It would have been much better to walk up to a table and say, you know what, guys, we're looking for people to pray for who need healing. Jesus can heal you right now. I mean, because the waiters all got nervous because they're thinking she's got a bomb. You know what I mean? I mean, that could have got backfired and gotten really ugly really quick. So, I mean, we got to use wisdom while we're doing these things, but at the same time, not shrink back from the opportunity to step out and to expect God to show up. And so Philip is doing this, and notice what they're gathered around. Now, everything inside of us says we need to back away. Like demons manifesting, we think, well, that'll scare unbelievers away. That'll run an unbeliever away. Not true. They're running to it to see it. They're intrigued by it. Because they've seen people that they've probably known were under demonic power, but nobody could bring freedom to them. I was asked by this Baptist, group to come and do a youth conference in New Zealand. And it was 5,000 Baptist teenagers. Now listen, this was an amazing story. But they were like, they said, listen, we've already read about the guy being raised from the dead that you prayed for that was raised from the dead in England. They said, that's so cool. But they said, you gotta be careful about stories you tell here. Like, you can't talk about the dead like that because, you know, it's taboo here in New Zealand. We don't talk. And I was sitting there, I was like, I wonder how true that is. And he's like, yeah, so don't talk about that because that could be really, you know, and any unbelievers would be really offended by that. And don't talk about the blood, you know, about the blood of Christ or something because that can kind of scare people away. So I grab my phone and I Google number one most popular movies of teenagers in New Zealand. Guess what it is? Zombie movies. And so I looked at him and I said, wait a minute, you're saying this is taboo subject. I said, I'm telling you, your youth culture is hungry for resurrection power. It's just manifesting in them looking at zombies. They're hungry to see breakthrough. They're hungry to see this. It's just manifesting through them wanting to go see zombie movies because we're not pursuing that as a church. We're not demonstrating that for them. And then I said, and you said that about the blood. I said, guess what the number two most popular movies around young people are in New Zealand? Vampire movies. So blood is not offensive to them. I said, but you know, you're my host. I'll honor whatever you say. I'm not going to go against you. I'm going to honor, you know, whoever's in charge. I said, but I won't. I said, but I really don't think you're really as in touch with your culture as much as you think, as much as you realize. I said, I'm just saying that respectfully. And so I said, but I won't. And so I didn't tell either one of any of stories that were like that. And I honored exactly what he said because he said to. But then when we with that this one particular night. Or this one, the other day, he said, we want you to do two workshops on healing. And he said, now we do a workshop because I know everybody gets shocked that we're Baptists and that we do a workshop on healing. He goes, I asked him, I said, I'm just curious. Why did you invite me here? Because you're giving me all these warnings, all this stuff. It sounds like you're very concerned about what I teach and what I minister. I said, but why did you invite? He said, we could not have the attendance that we're having here if we didn't invite one of you guys to come and to teach on this stuff. And I said, what do you mean? He said, we would have had half of this group. He said, because they are so hungry to hear about the supernatural. They are so wanting to know about this. He goes, all of our entire board, none of us wanted to do it, but we realized that if we did that, that we would lose half of our regular attendance for these particular events. And so we had to. And so I was like, I'll take that, you know? So he told me, he goes, you're not going to have more than like 700 young people that are going to come to your workshop. And I looked at him, I said, I got to be honest with you. I said, I don't think you realize how many people are going to show up. I said, if they're as hungry as you say, it's going to be way more than that. And he goes, well, don't be disappointed with 700. I said, I'm not disappointed with 700. I said, I'm just trying to tell you, I don't think you're aware of how hungry they are for this. When we had to move our venue several different times because we had 2,500 young people show up for just the training on healing. Because they were just so hungry for it, man. I mean, it was incredible. And so they were, I mean, man, the Spirit of God was moving so strong in those and the presence of God. And they were like, don't say come Holy Spirit until the last meeting, the last session, the last night, right before we're sitting, you gotta swear to us you won't do it. I'm like, again, why did you invite me here? You know? And of course, you know, we did find, I honored exactly what they said. And didn't do it until the very last session, but I just told them, I said, I don't think you're prepared for what's gonna happen. And it was like flicking a match onto the driest hay you've ever seen. It was like, you know, it literally on the floor, there were probably about 1,500 young people, like sitting on the floor in chairs. And all of a sudden with that, literally 2/3 of that group just all went backwards at the same time. As soon as they said, come Holy Spirit, it was like, well, at first it was like dead quiet. And then it was like, I said, all right, it's coming. Don't be impatient. They just went back, you know? And so, but guys, here's the thing. Expectancy. Understanding, expecting God to show up. And if we're ever feeling afraid, ever get more public with it. Philip is stepping into this. This is this. And man, pray for those young people. Let me just say this. Pray for those young people. I've had hundreds of emails and messages on like Facebook and Twitter from those young people that have been going back to their cities, their churches, and just seeing powerful things happen. You know, one principal accusing these two girls of practicing witchcraft because almost everybody they pray for gets completely healed. And what's sad is they called their pastor. They said, call our pastor. He'll vouch for us that we're faithful in church and they called the pastor and the pastor says, yeah, we've been kind of wondering if they're not practicing witchcraft too. Because they don't believe healing is for today. So it's like their pastor just threw them right under the bus. So I mean, look, every material on that table out there, I packaged up and I sent to those girls and I said, here, just feed yourself off this. Keep going. Don't stop. But guys, let me tell you something. There is so much that's out there waiting. And here, Philip, this is how the church is birthed. And you go on to see with him ministering to the Ethiopian eunuch, and how, and we're, how many of you have had, have you heard stories about being translated and, you know, stuff like that? And you want that. I'm in. You know how it happens? Philip is doing this, you know, throughout Samaria. Philip is going around ministering. He's staying faithful. He's sticking with it. And the father's like, I need that boy over here. So I'm going to get him there. This isn't a practice of spirituality. This is God going, I need to meet the demand of hunger. People always ask me, why is it that there's more, you know, healings happen in Africa and China and in Latin America and India? Is it because they have a higher level of faith? No. They have a higher level of desperation. Where people are more desperate, there's more kingdom activity that'll happen. And my friends, that can be with the poorest, that can be with the wealthiest. It's just whatever level of desperation they're at, man, you're going to see more kingdom. Trust me, that's the reason why I planted my church in a poor urban, you know, section of Chicago, because I knew their level of desperation would be far higher. But you here Philip is, so Philip is just going around praying and seeing the sick, preaching the gospel, sharing, and then Papa's like, I need you over here. I need him. So he gets in there. This isn't about just, you know, again, holding your breath long enough and saying, I believe, and clicking your heels three times. You know, this is about stopping and doing what Jesus said. The scripture clearly lays out and says, seek first the kingdom of God. Now, how many of you are like, I'd love to do that, but I'm too distracted with my bills, with my finances, with my family. I'd love to do that, but I can't because of this, 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 and this. Well, here's God's deal with you. You worry about my stuff, I'll worry about your stuff. That's the Robbie Dawkins version of seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all this will be added to you. You worry about God's stuff, God will worry about your stuff. You know, but if we just sit at home and just, you know, play worship music all the time and just lay our Bibles on our chest and nap and thinking, God, I'm worrying about your stuff, now worry about my, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. I'm not saying prayer and all that. Trust me, we spend time and soaking and being in God's presence. I'm not throwing that out. But we need to swing the pendulum in the church. Does that make sense? Have I offended you?
No.
Oh, shoot. I was hoping that. Right? I'm just kidding. Okay, so this. All right, I've talked enough. Let's do. Really quick. Is anybody having a problem with your shoulder? Where your shoulder's in pain right now? If you were to lift and check your shoulder and it's in pain right now, raise your good arm. Okay, come up here. If you just raise your hand. Okay, she's pointing at you. Does that mean you don't have a bad shoulder or is it in pain?
It's not
painful. Were you in pain at all right now? If you were to lift it, would you feel any pain? Okay, if you were to lift it right now, would you feel pain? Could you come up here? Would you be up? Please? We're not going to make you give you a prophetic word to everybody in the room. Don't worry about that. Okay, so which shoulder? Because he came up first. I just got to honor the. So what's going on? What shoulder? What happened?
I have a labral tear.
A labral tear?
Yes.
Okay. And how did that happen?
Football.
Of course, that makes perfect sense. That's how it's always. Hey, this guy right here with the blue shirt and the cool glasses. Yeah, would you come up here and help me out? Do you mind coming up here? What's your name, buddy? What is it? Ethan? Come up here and help me, Ethan. Okay, so you tore it playing football. You could sit down. Sorry. You tore it playing football, right? Okay, how long ago did that happen?
About 2 months ago.
Okay, so lift it up and show me where you start to feel the pain. Right there? You're feeling pain right there. So whatever pain you're feeling there, that's 10. Zero is no pain. Do you mind just stepping right up here just so they can see? Okay, so Ethan, come here. Put your hand, and what's your name, man?
Isaac.
Isaac, I forgot it already, sorry. Put your hand on his shoulder. Just repeat after me. Father, I thank you for Isaac, and I thank you for healing power. By the authority of Jesus Christ, I command this rotator cuff, rotator cuff, that's okay, to be healed. I command all pain to get out, muscles relax, Nerves be repaired.
Nerves be repaired.
All pain go.
All pain go.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
You're doing a great job. All right. So move and check your shoulder. Now, if the pain you were feeling before was a 10, listen, don't be nice to me. Don't be nice. Don't be nice to him. If the pain you were feeling before was a 10 and 0 is no pain, give me a number where you're at right now.
I'm feeling a 0.
You're feeling a 0?
Yeah.
There's no pain? Check it really good. I want you to check it really good.
I can't do that.
What'd you say?
I couldn't do that.
You couldn't do that before? Okay, move it up, move it back. I want you to check really good. No pain? All right. So it's a 0? You're not being nice, are you? I mean, I know he's got the cute kid thing going on. How old are you, buddy?
8.
8? Okay. 8 years old. Man, I was thinking you were 12. You can come this way if you would. Please. What's your name, sir?
Rich Man.
Rich Man?
Mm-hmm.
That is your name.
It is.
Did you ever pray and ask the Lord to give you a rich man? Was that...
30 years ago.
All right, which shoulder is it? Or is it both?
No, it's the left shoulder and my back and
hips. Left shoulder, back, and hips. Okay, so give me 3 numbers then, if you would. Lift this arm. Show me what movement where you would feel the pain like the most.
Right there?
Okay, so we're going to give that 10. 0 is no pain, okay? And then with your hips, like what motion would you feel it more, like shifting back and forth? Okay, but just what makes it increase when you move? Like any type of movement that makes
it? Get up and down.
When you get up and down. Okay, so when you got up from there, whatever that was, that's 10. Now in your back, is it with bending? Okay, can you bend? Okay, you're feeling pain there. So whatever pain that is, we're going to give that 10 as well. So 10, 10, 10. Okay, so come here, Isaac, if you would. Let's put your hand on Rich Man there. And just say, I receive it. No, I'm just kidding. all right. Come closer, Tim. So just repeat after me. Father, I thank you for Rich Man. That's amazing. And I thank you for healing power. By the authority of Jesus Christ, I command these shoulders, these hips, and this back to be healed right now. In Jesus' name. I command all pain. Get out now. I command cartilage to be restored. Be healed by the authority of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. All right, Rich Man. Lift up your arm, lift up your shoulder. Now, if the pain you were feeling before, when you lifted up before, was 10 and 0 is no pain, where are you at now, sir? Don't be nice.
I don't have any.
No pain? All right, praise the Lord. I know you're feeling something on you, too. Now, shift your hips, move your hips, or do you need to sit down and get up?
No, I'm all right.
Okay, and then bend your back for me. Okay? Now, if it was 10 and 10 in the back... Before, give me numbers for those right now. If 0 is no pain, don't be nice.
I don't have any either.
0? Are you being nice?
No.
You look like a nice man. Okay. All right. So because of what he's had before, I want you to put your hand back on it again. Just repeat after me. Father, I thank you for healing power. By the authority of Jesus Christ, I seal this up. And I command these joints to stay fluid and to be at peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Is there anybody that was having problems with headache or pain in your neck? And I'm not talking about raising kids either. Who's has the headache? Is it somebody with a headache? Okay, come up here if you've had a problem with headache. Now notice how we're begging and pleading when we're praying. Have you noticed that? Notice how we're begging and pleading God to touch and to heal these people. and saying, Lord, why don't you be a good God and show up and heal it? Have you noticed that? And guys, if you come up, stand all the way to the steps just so everybody there can see. Oh, no, you come over here. So have you noticed how we're doing that? Anybody notice how we're begging and pleading? We're not. Why? Because just come all the way to the steps just so those guys can see. And let me tell you the reason why. Because Jesus and the disciples didn't pray that way. So why are we? Because we were trained that way. And again, that's unbelief that's been instilled in us that we have to undo. Okay? So, rich man. And it's Linda? Man, I'm impressed with myself. I rarely impress myself. But is it your head that you're having pain? Or which is it? What's going on? I'm leaning in so they can hear.
Okay. So I don't have a headache right now because I took stuff before I came. I have pain in my neck. But what I would ask for healing for is my breathing.
Okay. We'll definitely pray for that. Are you having any pain in your neck?
Yeah.
At the same time,
I
too?
I can't move it very much.
Very passive.
So it's
passive.
Primarily right on it.
And what's going on with your breathing?
I have what's called bronchiectasis, and so my bronchial tubes.
Bronchiectasis? Really? I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
And your bronchial tubes are swollen?
They're kind of enlarged, and so I don't exchange air well, and I don't.
Okay. So what I want you to do is just put your hand just on her back right there. Okay. Thanks, bro. And well, doing that for your lungs too, but that's fine.
Okay.
We'll go for both. It doesn't matter.
I did ask my mom for a rich man.
Yeah. He's taken. It's too bad.
No,
sorry.
I know. The boy's coming this way.
All right. So let's pray. All right. So whatever pain you are feeling there, that's 10. Do me a favor. Take a deep breath. Okay. You're feeling restriction?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So whatever that restriction is, that's 10. Okay. That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. All right, so can you repeat after me, please, sir?
Sure, I will.
Father?
Father.
I thank you for Linda.
I thank you for Linda.
And I thank you for healing power.
And I thank you for healing power.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
I command this neck.
I command this neck.
To be loosed right now.
To be loosed right now.
Vertebrae line up.
Vertebrae line up.
Any damaged discs?
Any damaged discs?
I command them to be repaired.
I command them to be repaired.
Nerves?
Nerves.
Be made new.
Be made new.
All pain, get out now.
All pain, get out now.
I command this bronchial inflammation.
I command this bronchial inflammation.
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 To be completely uninflamed.
To be completely uninflamed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
All pressure. Go.
Go.
You've got to be very medical and technical when you do this. Understand? I command all swelling to get out now.
I command all swelling to get out now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I command full mobility.
I command full mobility.
Be healed.
Be healed.
For the glory of our great King.
For the glory of our great King.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. All right, first let's check the neck. Move your neck. Now, don't be nice. Don't be nice.
I'm not.
If the pain that you were feeling before was 10, whatever that was 10,
mm-hmm.
Zero is no pain. Where are you at now? Don't be nice.
I'm about an 8.
An 8, so it didn't shift much.
No.
Now, take a breath. Now, if the pressure you were feeling was a 10 and 0 is no pressure, where are you at now? Don't be nice.
I'm better.
Give me a number.
I don't have.
Say it again.
I don't have a number.
What does that mean?
I don't feel any pressure.
There's no pressure? No pressure? Praise the Lord. Okay, so now we're going to go after the neck thing, okay? So we'll put your hand back on her again. Now listen, if something doesn't, praise God, yes. If something doesn't change, or if it goes up, the pain goes up or restriction of movement goes up, what do you think that is? It's demonic. It's demonic opposition. Why? Because Satan's trying to kill us all. Because he hates us, because we're God's crown jewel. Okay? So So we're going to break that off. So Father.
Father.
I thank you for Linda.
I thank you for Linda.
And I thank you for healing power.
And I thank you for healing power.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
I bind. The spirit of infirmity.
The spirit of infirmity.
And I break it off of Linda.
And I break it off of Linda.
I bind. The spirit of death.
The spirit of death.
And I break its power now.
And I break its power now.
Be healed.
Be healed.
I forbid. Any more manifestation.
Any more manifestation
of pain
or restriction of movement.
I command it all to go now. I command
these discs
to move freely.
I command damaged nerves.
Be made new.
Be healed now.
For the glory of our great King.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Okay. Now, Linda, move and check your neck. Take your hand off. Move and check it really good. If it was 8 before, what is it now? If 0 is no pain, don't be nice. About a 4? All right. Can you put your hand on there again? Yeah. No, it's all right. Yeah. Father. Listen, Mark chapter 8. Let's interrupt this prayer. God understands. Mark chapter 8. How many times did Jesus pray for the blind man? If he gets 2, how many do we get? See, if you saw the movie, you already know where I'm going with that. So, okay. So, we just keep going. Okay? So, Father. I thank you for healing power.
I thank you for healing power.
And I thank you for bringing this down to a 4.
And I thank you for bringing this down to a 4.
Rich man, can you snap your fingers? 4 go to a 0.
4 go to a 0.
Right now. All pain, get out. You are not allowed to stay. Vertebrae. Come into perfect alignment. Muscles relax. Nerves be loosed. All pain, go. Be healed. For the glory of Jesus Christ. I forbid. Any more manifestation of pain. Or restriction of movement. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Take your hands off and check again. If it was 4, where is it at now? Don't be nice.
I'm probably about a 1 here, but I was really sore through here because I shoveled a lot of topsoil today. I have no pain.
No pain in there, but yeah. Down a 1 in there? Okay.
And it's stiff. I can't. So I don't have the movement.
Okay. That's the reason why we're praying for mobility.
Yeah.
But let me illustrate something here because so we can get to everybody else as well. Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay. So each one of you go and get with one of these. I'm going to illustrate something. Come over here.
Pray for somebody else.
That's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do right now. So which one of you, like who is it, headache or pain in the neck? Headache?
Neck.
Okay. So you just need, and then for you, pain in the neck, but you, ma'am.
I have a bone infection.
A bone infection.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. See, I was about to say that's fun, but see, to her, that's not fun. I mean, I'm like excited. So, I tell you what, why don't you pray for her? And then will you help me out, Gordon, and get him? And then you, both of you come over here and pray. So whatever pain level you're at now, move around, check where you're at. Whatever pain or restriction level you're at right now, for you it would be 0, right? Because you're not there. But we'll still pray for you. We're not going to cut you out of it. So whatever pain level you're at, that 0. So if you have it more than just your neck, if it's in your legs or whatever. Okay, so check all those areas and we want a number for all that, okay? And what is it?
Julie.
Which area is it for you?
Headache, back and shoulders and upper back is all really tight, pinched, and restrictive.
Okay. All right. So chronic. Okay. So put your hands on him right now. Ian, put your hand on her shoulder right there. Okay. All right. So I'm not going to say a name. So you guys just pray. So Father, I thank you for healing power. And I thank you for my friend.
And I thank you for my friend, Julie.
By
the authority of Jesus Christ.
I command.
I command.
Vertebrae to line up.
Vertebrae to line up.
Nerves be loosed.
Nerves be loosened.
Muscles be repaired.
Muscles be repaired.
Bones be strengthened.
Bones be strengthened.
All pain, get out now.
All pain, get out now.
I break the power.
I break the power.
Of the spirit of infirmity.
Of the spirit of infirmity.
Get off of them.
Get off of Julie.
Be healed.
Be healed.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
For the glory of Jesus Christ.
In Jesus' name.
And in Jesus' strong name.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Check. Move. Check. Check where, what you're feeling. Okay. Now, if you were at a 10 before, and if it's several parts, give numbers for each one. If you were at a 10 before and 0 is no pain or no restriction, where are you at now? Don't be nice.
I'd say my neck and my upper back is like at a 4 now.
Okay, what about your head? You said it was mild headache?
Maybe a 1.
Maybe a 1. So 4 and 1. Help me remember that if you would. What about you?
Probably about an 8 still.
8? Okay. And you're a 0? Okay. What about you? Don't be nice.
The head is down to a 3, and the lower back and legs are, you know, higher, like...
Like, give me a number.
6.
6, okay. So 3 and 6. Okay, what about you?
I think still about the same.
So 10.
Yeah, 10.
Okay, give me a number each time if you would. Okay, so 10. So you know what to go for there. All right, so let's pray. He's an expert. All right, so let's pray again. Father, put your hands on him. Father, I thank you for healing power. By the authority of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of infirmity, and I forbid it from manifesting with pain and restriction of movement. I command it all to go now. I command this body be healed for the glory of Jesus Christ. The guys, just all of you just sort of blow on their backs right now. Blow hard. Don't blow soft. Blow hard. In Jesus' name, I command complete restoration. And all pain to get out. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, everybody check. Move and check. You need to keep praying for her then. We'll go after it. Just keep praying for it. Use that arm. When you say it's starting to irritate, is pain starting to happen? Okay. That's spiritual. That's fighting. It's fighting against you. This will be a good experience for you. Okay. Don't be alarmed. So, but the best thing you can do if stuff like that starts to happen is start praying for people. That's how you fight it. That's the revenge of God. Got it? Okay. So hang with us, okay? Now, give me a number.
I'm good. I'm 0. She just sealed it, though.
She what?
She sealed it, so it won't come back.
Okay. Yeah. Now, check your neck.
Yeah. I'm about a half.
0.5?
Yeah.
Okay. She's sowing and reaping. She's sowing and reaping, which is what we're getting him to do. Now, where are you at? You were
about
at 8,
mm-hmm.
So still an 8. Okay. You're still 0. Okay, what about you? Give me numbers for where you were at.
Well, down to maybe a 2 or a 1.
Uh-huh, and, at the top.
And then down to a 3 in the lower back, but say 4 or 5 in the legs.
Okay. And what about you? You were at 10 before. Where
yeah,
you
down
at?
To an 8 now.
Down to an 8, okay. All right, so you guys mind if we pray again? Is this okay? All right, so let's pray again.
We have a chain.
They're dipping off of each other now. All right, Father, I thank you for healing power. And I thank you for my friend. By the authority of Jesus Christ, we break every attack of the enemy. Command it all to stand down now. Be healed. By the authority of Jesus Christ.
By the authority of Jesus Christ.
I command vertebrae to line up. Muscles be loosed. I forbid any more manifestation of pain. Or restriction of movement. In Jesus' name. Be made whole. Amen. Okay? All right, back off from them and check it again. Move your shoulder again. Check it again. Okay? And we'll start with you first so you don't feel like you're always the last with us. So where are you at now? You were at an 8 before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Where are you at now? Don't be nice.
About a 7.
About a 7? Okay. And what about you?
I don't feel any pain except a little bit, maybe a 1 in the spine and the legs. It's down to a 3, and I'm having this desire to start walking and moving
around. Amen. Why don't you do that? Why don't you just walk around just for a little bit there? Okay. And then what about you?
Maybe about a 2.
About
it's
a
better.
2? All right.
Better.
That's a lot of improvement mm-hmm. from where you were at. And then with your 0.5, don't
yeah.
be nice.
I'm better this way, but I'm about the same.
So about 0.5 still.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Raise your shoulder. Check your shoulder. Or which one was it? You're moving it slower now.
It's flipping about right there.
Okay. So we'll keep praying for that. Don't worry. It'll go. That's the enemy trying to fight for territory. These bodies, you know where the body comes from? Earth, from dirt. And so Satan sees it as a territorial war because he took our power and authority in the garden because we empowered him when we obeyed him rather than taking dominion over him, rather than ruling over him. And we handed over all our power and authority to him. And so he sees the earth as his. And so it's a territorial war. What's going on? Does that make sense? That's too much to go in depth in here. But anyway. All right. So guys, do me a favor. Sit down for now. We're going to come back and pray just a minute. I'm going to hand it back to the pastor here just for a minute. And then we'll do a general, you know, have a prayer for everybody else too.
Praise the Lord. Isn't God good?
Yeah.
You were created for this stuff. Well, this is the time. We want to be a blessing to Robbie, and he's got a number of things going around the world, and we want to sow into his ministry. And we're only taking one offering. It's all going to him. So if I can have the ushers come forward, and just if you need an offering envelope, just raise your hand. The ushers will see that you receive one. If you want to put Robbie's name on it, that's fine, but it's all going to him anyway. There are folks that would love to have him come, but they just can't. They don't have the resources, so we sow to allow them to experience what the Lord's doing through Robbie. Let's just pray. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I just praise you and bless you. I thank you for your presence in this place tonight. And Father, I thank you that as we sow of our resources, you multiply those things back, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I thank you, Father, that as we sow this evening, those that have had fear about their finances, this is revenge. And so we just thank you, Lord, that you're faithful. You've always been faithful. I ask that you cause the seeds that are planted tonight to be multiplied back to them in abundance. Not just financially, but by your presence, your ever-present presence. And we thank you for these seeds that will go forth and allow others to experience your presence. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen.
You know, my parents were missionaries to Japan. That's where I was born. And so when Dan was talking about the stuff we do in missions, it's always been my parents, Japan is a really hard place to do ministry. And so they were always saying, they said, we could never get anybody really good to come and ever do anything for us because, their ministry was small or they didn't have the finances for it. And so they were always, it's always been my heart to make sure to be able to go places, that other people don't go or couldn't go and to see so much happen, for them, to impact them. And so I'm just saying that just to say that that's what you're sowing into right now, is that we want to be able to do that and to, increasing that. Now, let me tell you, let me ask you a question. Now, if you've heard me before say this, you're not allowed to answer. Okay. How many people did I just pray for that were experiencing healing up here? How many people that I was praying for were experiencing healing up here? Give me numbers. How many? How many people? None? That's right. He's right. I was just playing along. I didn't pray for anybody. You did. This is about Christ in you. This is about the healer in you. The redeemer, the transformer. We just gotta let it out. It all started with, how old are you again, buddy? 8. It all started with an 8-year-old who was struggling with me giving him too big of words to pray with. Christ in you. This isn't about specially gifted people, specially anointed people for this. This is about Christ in you. You know, Philippians 2 says that Jesus put aside his superhero God powers. He made an arrangement with the Father. He left those in heaven. He came as a normal human being, and the source of his power was the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that's available to you and I. There are no Happy Meal-sized portions of the Holy Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit. Get it? So it's the same in you, all right? We're going to move to like a general time because I want you to pray for each other now. Okay? Because so far I haven't prayed for anybody other than praying for them after giving them a word. Because you don't need me to do that. Christ is in you. The healer's in you. You just got to let it out. You just got to, as our friend Brian says, you got to put Jesus on display in your community. And it's so true. You just got to let it out. But let me just say for you guys as pastors, I just really feel like the Lord is just saying this, put your hands up. You're about to go on the ride of your life. This is the beginning of something that's very exciting, very powerful, and you're about to go on the ride of your life. He's going to embarrass you with blessing. He's going to embarrass you with blessing. And it's not long. That's not a long word. That's a short word, but it says it all, and I don't need to add anything to that. So, Father, we just pray a blessing on these pastors, on this church, and we thank you for them in Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. So those of you who we just prayed for that you're still in pain, stand up. If you need healing in your body, stand up. Anybody in the room who needs healing in your body, stand up. Okay. All right. Are you going to attack me or something? Or is it... I'm like, does she have a taser in her hand? No, no, you're fine. No, 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 no. That's all right. You don't have to. You're so sweet. No, I'm sorry. My part of my love language is teasing banter. So don't feel bad. Okay, so you guys who are sitting, your opportunities to activate what you've just learned is standing right now. So I want you to just turn to somebody. If you're sitting beside them, just turn to them. Now here's the rules. You're not allowed to ask for anything. Now I was just in Houston, Texas, and they misunderstood and they were like, Jesus, I command you to heal them right now. That is not how we prayed. We said, Father, we thank you for healing. Now I command this body You're not commanding God to do anything. You're commanding that physical being. So like if somebody has diabetes, you're commanding the pancreas to produce the right amount of insulin. If somebody has cancer, you say, I curse cancer. I command every cancer cell to die in this body and for this person to live.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.